Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of my favorite things, one of my favorite columns around this time of year, the last few years, is Mike Sando's quarterback tiers that he does for The Athletic. Just came out last week. We talked about it last week, and now he's here to talk about it some more. Mike Sando on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well, Mike. You know, I tell you, it's funny. I don't know who they are, but there's a couple of votes here on the tiers that, like, blew my mind. First of all, I'd love to know who the one talent evaluator is that actually still calls Ben Roethlisberger, or as I like to refer to him as Little Benny Roxenberger, as a tier one player. Was that guy drunk when he gave you that information?
I know. I followed up, you know, and it's like somebody who's well thought of, you know?
Wild.
So, hey, there's lots of different opinions, you know,
yeah.
and you know, for the most part, things come into focus, right? It's not like half the league was like that and we're all wondering
sure.
what ends in tier one. The league doesn't seem that way, but you talk to enough people, right? You're going to get enough opinion, and some of them are going to be on the fringes and different. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Maybe he, you know, really bounces back.
I was a little surprised that Baker, I should say a little, I was a lot surprised that Baker ended up as 17th. I think I was doing, we were doing our rankings recently, and I think I had him 10th or 11th or something like
sure.
that. What was the, you know, obviously you wrote about it, but what was the general sentiment for the guys who did not see him? Because he didn't really gain much ground off of last year, and he was much better in 2020 than he was in 2019.
You know, I had a similar conversation with a Tennessee radio station this morning because
look at
Ryan Tannehill's numbers. I mean, you can't tell them apart from Mahomes' numbers the last couple of years. You know, close. They're close. They're really amazing. So what happens when you try to figure out how much credit the quarterback gets is you certainly look at a couple things. The style of offense they play. Are they trying to put more on his plate, more on his shoulders, or are they building a nice little nest and cocoon for him to be protected? And when you're in an offense with a not just a good offensive line, but when the perception is that you're trying to run the ball more and more to make it easier for your quarterback, which is a really smart strategy if you can pull it off.
Right.
Like Tennessee, like Minnesota has, like early in Russell Wilson's career. Russell Wilson wasn't born a one, even though I had these exact same conversations with Russell Wilson fans in 5 years ago, right? When you've had some success, but people aren't going to give you the credit because the scheme, people have their eyes on that running back. Look, you could substitute Derrick Henry, Marshawn Lynch, Nick Chubb, right? We know what the defense is most geared for. They're not coming into film week going, oh my gosh, did you see what Baker Mayfield did? There's only three guys in the league who can make that throw, and he's one of them. That's not the focus yet when you're playing Cleveland. Now, that said, they didn't have a great defense, and they still had a winning record. Same as sort of Tennessee, right? So he has to get some credit for that. But I think that's what clouds it for guys that play well but aren't necessarily the focal point of it. And so people might look at it and say, you know, I think Baker benefits as much from the good things they've got going on there than the other way around, which is amazing from where Cleveland was a couple of years ago. I think you just take it and run to the bank. If they want to not give Baker the credit, then it means the operation's going great. Mm-hmm. Take it, you know, and he'll get his credit as they continue to have more success.
You know, Mike, one surprise for me is Joe Burrow at 14, ahead of Baker Mayfield. He only played 11 games as a rookie, right?
And
people love him.
I know. That surprised me, too. I wasn't sure what to expect. I thought Burrow and Herbert were two guys coming off. I think you can understand Herbert, right? I mean, he had a great statistical year, and you could just kind of see it with Burrow was 2-7-1 as a starter at 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. If you didn't watch the game, you'd say, okay, is he at the top of tier 4, you know, the bottom of tier 3? But people who played him and watched him just thought he's a real guy who's really accurate and tough and keeps coming back. And maybe they're overrating him, you know. I don't know. I think time will tell. But, yeah, I was very positive on him.
We're talking with Mike Sando from The Athletic. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Lamar Jackson, to me, is a weird guy to grade because as a thrower of the football, he wasn't very good last year. I mean, he was really good in 2019, but he wasn't great. His completion percentage went down. You know, but obviously his running is a big part of the game. But it's like they're, you know, we talk about the Browns are a run-first team. I think when you scout the Ravens, you're much more worried about him running than throwing.
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, he's just so dynamic. There's almost no one who's been like him, you know. Michael Vick was amazing, but I feel like Lamar Jackson can take the punishment. You know what I mean? He's like a more physical runner. It's like he's scarier in some ways than Cam Newton just because he's so electric. He's not as big. But, yeah, just amazing. I agree that makes it harder to fit him into, you know, a tier cleanly. And he's had a hard time, like, getting into tier one even when he's an MVP because I think there is some feeling in the league that, you know, the pure pass component is still an important piece at certain points. There's going to be times when you can't just lean on your amazing run game and the defense is looking at you because you're behind or, you know, you're playing a good team in the playoffs and you've got to just pass. So I think, you know, if he can clear that hurdle and improve that way, you know, they've tried to help their receiving personnel. If he gets a spike the way Josh Allen did, then I think he'll be well on his way. But I didn't sense that there's a lot of optimism that'll happen. I think people feel like, hey, he's kind of a top 10 quarterback, and that's where he's going to be, and maybe he's not going to be a top 5 because of that one area.
You know, we're talking about Mike Sando from The Athletic. Mike, we mentioned before Baker, and the talent around him is kind of held against him, which I get. I think it's held against him more than anybody else, which I think is unfair. On the other hand, I think Matthew Stafford is given more of a pass for the failures of his team than any quarterback ever. I know he's not had good defense. I know he's not had a great running game, but he's had good, really good receivers. Obviously, he had Calvin Johnson. Kenny Galladay's been really good. And he's never won a big game, ever. I know he's talented, but it feels like he takes no blame for the fact that he's done nothing from a team standpoint.
I know. Well, that's Detroit, though. You know, I mean, I'm with you. The thing I love about this season is, I'm tired of hearing that stuff, too. Like, Carson Wentz, you know what? You want to blame Philly? Well, let's go put you in Indy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Hey, Stafford, it's all Detroit. Okay, well, then go play with McVay, which is perceived to be a great situation. So I'm with you. I think this year is a great test of some of those narratives for guys who've changed teams. And, you know, last year, obviously, Tampa has a great defense. But that narrative on Brady shifts a little, doesn't it? When, them away from Belichick and they win the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
You know, that helps him. So I'm with you. I feel like the Rams, they won a playoff game last year. Is Stafford going to go there and they're going to go even deeper? You know, I don't think that's a guarantee at all. And I'm kind of with you. I see what people see in him. You know, he is a talented passer. And he's one of those guys that everyone in the league who coaches offense just thinks if they could get their hands on him, it would be amazing. And now we're going to find out.
Hey, how far is Josh Allen from being a tier one?
Yeah, he's just another good year. You know, he got 20 votes in tier one and 30 in tier two. And the 20 in tier one was more than the combined total for every quarterback ranked after him. So he's right on the cusp. He's the top of tier two. And I think people felt like he played at a tier one level last year, but because he's had inconsistencies, you know, they want to see it again. And I think that's fair when you're starting to put him in a group that has Brady and Mahomes and Rodgers and Wilson and guys who've really done it. So it'll be a great opportunity for him. I think most people expect he's going to have a good year, but, you know, every once in a while he takes a sack for 18 yards and fumbles the ball, and they almost lose a playoff game because of it. So, you know, some of those little things, I think he can just have another good year and back it up.
Mike Sando is with us from The Athletic. Mike, I'm not sure what's more egregious, something I already referenced, the one guy who ranked Little Benny as a tier one quarterback. Or the guy who picked Jimmy Garoppolo as a tier one quarterback. That's absurd as well. I mean, he's got six. You know, I mean, he's a tier three at best. Tier one for Jimmy G. Why hasn't that team traded for him?
Yeah, no. Well, because it's probably not somebody who's the GM or the head coach, you know, who's going to drive that. It is. I actually looked at that at the end. Cause, so let's just say if I get 50 ballots from people, you know, I'm probably having a 20 or 30 minute conversation with 35 of them, and then there's some where, you know what, they're going on vacation. They just email it to me or text it to me, sure. And I didn't get it. I don't think I got a chance to talk to that guy, but I want to this year because I was like, I was the same with you. I actually texted him. I was like, is this a misprint? and it wasn't. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I would have a hard time seeing that too. They've been to a Super Bowl with him, but if he's a one, then Baker Mayfield's right there with him, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy to me. I think one interesting guy is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, people don't – he's hard to grade because it feels like everybody's always looking to replace him. He always plays well in short sprints, but then the longer he goes, the more his warts come out. I don't know. He's in a good situation in Washington. What do you make of him and what people said about him?
Well, I think he can be – a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 next week, the week after, the week after. You know what I mean? Yeah. He plays so fearlessly. But, you know, Brett Favre played fearlessly and could pull it off because he's an amazing talent. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick does it, and it sort of inspires your team. But I don't know if it's something you can just bank on for the long term. He sort of feels like a high three to me, kind of even a low two sometimes, 4, 8 games. And then over time, it's kind of like if you go to Vegas and, you know, you're winning at whatever you're gambling at, it ain't going to last. You may get way ahead, but everyone sort of wants to quit when they're ahead because they know the big loss is coming. And I think that's him, but I like him with that team, you know, really good defense. I think he gives them kind of some juice on offense, you know, just the leadership and energy. And he's sort of one of those guys who's going to risk his body diving for a first down, and the coaches don't get mad because, you know, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's not the franchise.
Right. You know what's funny? You know, Tua Tagovailoa is 29th, and most people that you spoke to voted him as a tier 4 quarterback. He barely played last year. The guy was a high draft pick. Like, coming out of college, everybody thought he was going to be great. Is it that all these guys didn't think he was good to begin with, or have they jumped off the bandwagon just based on that small sample size for last year, think?
I don't think there was an absolute strong love for him. You know, when you think of him, is there a special trait with him? You know what I mean? I think that people felt like he could be accurate and solid and develop into a good quarterback. And last year really soured things, I think, for him in his perception of this. It's probably too harsh. Now, the tier four doesn't just mean, you know, you're terrible. It's also we don't really have enough information to know. And so you could say that, but if you read the comments in there, I mean, there's just not a lot of excitement around it. I think some of it was people felt like, you know what, Fitzpatrick was playing well, and then they changed unnecessarily, and they were worse with Tua. And then I think some of it, you come in your draft class kind of like Trubisky did, and the other guys in the class look better. You know, if not Burrow, then certainly Herbert was really exciting and was taken later. So those things maybe unfairly knock him down, but I don't know. If you were going to vote for him as a 3 or a 2, it's kind of hard to justify also, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it's almost like he should get like a non-grade, right? Like just
He should get a non-grade, but I won't put a rookie in there because, I mean, let's face it, we really don't know on the rookies, but I like to just see what sort of the discussion is, you know, and then we can see next year. Maybe he changes the narrative.
Yeah, I do think – I mean, there is some prisoner of the moment right there, right? Because, you know, Justin Herbert wasn't, I don't think, as highly thought of – certainly wasn't more highly thought of than Burrow, and he had a great year. And, you know, but if he has a down year this year, people will drop him big time. It's fascinating that, like, sometimes as fans we're prisoners of the moment, but I think even people in football can be that way too.
Yeah, I mean, when the moment's all you have, you know, they just had a moment. But I give Herbert a little more credit. I think he was pretty good throughout the whole year. I will say one thing that I think is going to be different this year is, you know, half those games that Herbert played last year were on the road in quiet stadiums. And I think it's different when you go to Kansas City and Denver, and now, you know, the Raiders are going to have a really packed stadium. I think that's going to be different for just statistically in general, and we should probably keep that in mind if we we're wondering why. Jesus, you know, this guy didn't take the next step. Well, on 3rd and 11 at Arrowhead Stadium, you're not going to look good either. You know, so
yeah, it's a good point. And I'll just be quiet at his stadium because nobody cares about the Chargers in LA.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the the road quarterback will do fine in his stadium. So
that's true. That's true. Mike, great stuff, man. Always love. Love talking about this column, and keep up the great work, man. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay.
All right, there you go. Mike Sando from The Athletic.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.